All right, our agenda is here. Oh, hi, Heather. I think you're the 961 area code number. Okay, our agenda is there. Today on the agenda is reviewing how the web payments IG vote on the verifiable claims task force continuing their work went. Next steps, which might be an advisory committee meeting in March at some point. Reviewing the draft charter proposal and then talking about what we need to do with use cases to get us to the next step. Any other updates or changes to the agenda before we get started?
My name is David. I joined.
Hey, David. Okay. Any updates? If not, we'll move on. Okay. So the big thing that we were all waiting for was, how did the verifiable claims presentation at the face-to-face go. David, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on this after I give a quick overview. For those that don't know, David is the co-chair for the Web Payments Interest Group at W3C. All right, so cutting to the chase, we had a vote. It was 20 plus, we stopped counting at like 23 people in favor, zero opposed to writing a very focused charter and creating a set of use cases or gathering a set of use cases from our current use cases document to be presented to everyone we've interviewed and the W3C membership in general. So this is really great news. It means that we get to go to the next stage of the process. It was way closer, I think, even though that there were 20 votes, I think many of those votes were we don't want to stop the work yet, right? The counter to that, the good news is that, we have gotten to the very last point, which is creating a charter and circulating it and getting feedback on it. Like, that's the thing that happens before a charter of any kind goes to a vote. So if it's killed off at this point, it's because the W3C membership does not feel like they want to proceed with the work. Hopefully that makes sense. I see Eric Korb on the queue. Go ahead, Eric.
I'd just like to respond with an audio play. That's for the record. Congratulations. Great job.
Thanks. Thank you for the clapping. And great job, especially to everyone that made this happen. I think we learned a lot of things at the face-to-face through hallway chat and private conversations that helped us understand why people have been fighting this so much, both internally at W3C and externally. So unfortunately, many of those things I can't let everyone know about, other than I think there is a tremendous amount of concern that we are headed into something that is very difficult to do, and the chances of us succeeding at it are not as high as people would like them to be. But that said, I don't think that, doing verified claims on the web was never going to be this easy thing, right? So I think that's mostly what people are saying. They're saying we're really, really, really concerned about the work. We think it's really important, but we're concerned that there's a non-trivial chance of failure, even with a very limited charter and scope of work. Okay, so David, Izel, do you have anything that you'd like to kind of add to that, or any anything I missed or things that you feel are important that weren't said?
No, I think you got that right. I think your initial statement, while accurate, was just a tad on the grim side. I do think a lot of people in the group think the work is important. I do want to express to this task force that almost everyone in the room deeply appreciates the amount of work and due diligence that this group has done. And so any sort of tepidness, or what seems like tepidness in response, has nothing to do with that. But in fact, if it weren't for this Herculean effort that the task force is putting in, we probably wouldn't be where we are. So congratulations on that much. As Manu says, there are this thread or this vein runs very deep into the W3C. It's not just payments group. It runs very very far. And where I believe we left this was the group believes we should go ahead and create a charter for review. And if that charter, it's a calculated risk, of course. If the charter goes too far, then there will be pushback. If the charter doesn't go far enough, it won't be enough to get us started. I think, speaking for myself only and not as chair, I think that it's important that we try to find that comfortable spot, because once the work has actually begun, then it's a whole different ballgame. Because right now, the interest group has to sort of do a balancing act. Once we actually have chartered a group, that group becomes semi-autonomous and deals with W3M directly, not through a middle person. So I don't think people should feel like this is like forever, that you're going to be under the shadow of the interest groups.
Right. Thank you, David. Shane's on the queue. Go ahead, Shane.
Thanks. I thought somebody was ahead of me, but all right. I just wanted to say that there's a thing that we all need to keep in mind about the W3C and any standards organization, and it's just important that those organizations consider their reputation, and it's reasonable for them to consider their reputation in the balance of all of the other considerations of doing work. So I think I'm not saying that it's the ultimate consideration, but it's got to be part of the mix. So if we're getting resistance, or we perceive resistance, I imagine part of that is the risk of failure. That failure doesn't look good to a standards organization. Doing things, you know that old joke, what if you held a party and nobody came? You know, what if you built a standard and nobody came? What if you, which has happened at the W3C. I've been responsible for a couple of them. I take the reputational responsibility seriously, and I think we all should, that we want to make certain that whatever we bring forward is something we have a high confidence of success in. That's all I wanted to say.
Great. Thank you, Shane. Let's see. Anyone else have any thoughts or questions about the Web Payments IG vote or the discussion there or what we learned from it? Go ahead, David.
Yeah, just to add one thing to what Shane said. Yes, reputation is everything, and I've been at W3C long enough to be there during the years where there was a huge amount of turmoil, where the AC really didn't believe that what the working groups and interest groups were doing had anything to do with what they should be doing, and that's not pleasant. One of the things that is actually in our favor is Jeff Jaffe, and I know he may seem at times like he can be sort of hard-nosed, but one of the things that is really great about him, and this I'm speaking again just for myself, is generally speaking, if Jeff is okay with what you're doing, the AC is going to be fine. So So it actually in some ways makes things a little easier than it used to be and probably less contentious. So we should, I think there should be some focus on Jeff and all of this.
Great input, David, and agreed. One of the things that came out of the meeting was that we may be handed off to a different domain lead, meaning that the current domain lead is has suggested that this work may be better done in another location. So let's go to a couple of the things that we learned through the hallway conversation. So Wendy Seltzer, who's the current domain lead, that she's the person that we're having to convince that this is good stuff. She said that we may want to be handed off to another domain lead. It may be better in another area. And on top of that, she said she's really concerned about us saying that this is a generalized verifiable claim solution. And they've said this multiple times. They said, why don't you just focus on education? That seems to be where everything's happening right now. And you can see, actually, let me go ahead and link to the minutes in case folks don't have it. When she said that, the representative from the U.S. Federal Reserve jumped in and said, no, we think that it would be a mistake to focus it on just one vertical. You need to take financial into account. You need to take healthcare into account, because if you just focus it on one industry, you're going to end up with a point solution for that industry, right? And I think that the general feedback from the group was, try to make it as broad as possible, but make sure that those people that you're making it broad for are in the group. If you don't have those people in the group, you're going to have to limit the scope. So here's how this applies to what we're doing. We're going to go off and we're going to write a charter, and we're going to write it in a general way. We got approval to write it in a fairly general way. We're going to circulate it among the financial community, around the healthcare community, among education, government. We're going to circulate it in all of those communities. And if it turns out that one of those communities is not going to commit to sending people to participate in the work, then that is something that we have to rip out of the charter. Meaning that if we go out and we show this stuff to all these communities, and the only community that actually comes back and says, we want to do something, is the education sector, for example. Let's say we get, 35 education organizations saying that they want to do verifiable claims, and nobody else responds, or we've got like two or three people from other industries, then the charter is going to end up becoming focused on education. W3C management has said, that's what they can support and get behind, because if we're going to make these grand claims about this is supposed to be an international standard for all verifiable claims, and we only have the education folks in the room, then we're not actually an all-inclusive. The group isn't all-inclusive, and there wouldn't be any possible way that we could take those folks' desires into account. Okay. Any questions or concerns about that small tweak to our direction? And Dan Burnett is saying, it makes sense. While it's better to support three communities than one, it's better to support one than none. So it's basically, let me underscore that, it is up to us to make sure that there's broad buy-in to the charter, because if there isn't, the charter will be limited to whichever organizations want to participate in the work. Heather, go ahead, you're on the queue.
Hi, yeah, so that makes a lot of sense from your guys' perspective. I guess my concern with that is having a charter, if we end up going down the path of only building something or writing this with one community or group in mind, the one that is able to commit to participate, I guess I have just a few concerns on how do we roll or socialize these ideas in other communities that we want to utilize this at some point in the future. And I'm new to the WTC process, so I don't know. I mean, I know these specs and these. This is a long-term plan, right? This is not like a six-month, one-year plan. This is like 10 years. So my interest is mostly from banking and finance, and it makes sense in a lot of other areas. A lot of these spaces are extremely political and getting people on board, and there's a lot of people volatility and also stability. So I guess I'm just kind of curious on how to be both specific and focused so that there is success and show success, but also that as that success occurs, we're able to roll in other people into the process.
Right. So excellent question. So we're to the point where we have to get organizations to commit. Like once we have a charter, we have to get organizations to commit. And really, it's just a people skills thing, right? Each one of us have fairly deep contacts in either education or healthcare or finance, and it's up to us to take that charter, show it, you know, put it in front of people, and say, you know, this is not going to happen unless you join the work and make it happen, right? So you know, Heather, you know, you've got tons of contacts in the finance space. You taking that charter out and talking to people and saying, you know, this is going on. One, you should say, you know, if you think this is going to be helpful for your industry, you should speak up. And two, the thing that would really help is you identifying somebody in your organization that'll come and participate in the work. And it doesn't have to be a 10-year commitment. You know, we're just looking 12 months down the road. Because if we don't get this first stage of work started, none of the other 10-year plan, you know, none of the other 10-year plan really applies. Right, so we're focused on really the next 4 to 5 months, and that's the start of the first technical working group. And once we start that ball rolling, then we can talk about the, you know, the next 10 years and the vision and all that kind of stuff. To be clear, we have to tell everyone on the vision as well, the 10-year vision as well. So Heather, hopefully that answered your question. The what we're going to do is we're going to write a charter. There's going to be a link to the web on it. It's going to be public. There are going to be use cases associated with it. And then each one of us is going to go out to finance or healthcare or government or education and tell them to participate or ask them to participate. Make sense? Okay, Heather's saying it makes sense now, I see. Any other questions or points that folks are interested in or wondering about? Okay. If not, let's go ahead and talk about next steps. Okay. There is a W3C Advisory Committee meeting happening in Boston and MIT at the end of this month. That's our next deadline. So the hope is that we have a charter and use cases ready to be socialized at least a week before that event. So we're looking at, you know, 15 to 20 days from now. We've got to get a set of documents together that we can start socializing among the advisory committee. I've spoken with the staff contacts, and they said that they cannot give us, because this is so late in the process, they cannot give us any time to talk about this at the advisory committee meeting. Meaning, like, we can't get up on stage and present the charter and talk about it. But what we can do is circulate it among the advisory committee forum, circulate the charter among the advisory committee forum, tell people that we're going to be there to talk about it, and quite literally just have hallway discussions with key people. And the more people that we have at W3C having discussions with folks about verifiable claims, the better. I think right now it's only David Ezell and myself. David, are you going to the W3C AC meeting?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so it's going to be David Ezell and myself there. I don't know if anybody else is going to be going. But we're basically just going to try to do hallway conversation and talk with people about it and start building momentum there. And in parallel, we're going to contact all the interviewees and ask them what they think about the charter and the use cases. And we're going to, you know, contact all the organizations that gave input on the survey and ask them what they think about it as a next step. So we've got a lot of things kind of going on. Sorry, we've got a lot of communication to do over the next month and a half. So that's what we're shooting for. Any questions on what we're trying to get done by the AC meeting or what the purpose of the advisory committee meeting is?
I'm sorry, Manu, what was that question?
Is there any questions about the purpose of the AC meeting or what we need to get done by the time of the AC meeting?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I always have a question about what the purpose of the AC meeting is, but that's a different topic.
Well, our purpose is to socialize the charter. Who knows what else is going on there?
Yeah, please don't admit that.
Yeah. Okay. If there are no questions on that, let's talk about the draft charter. As some of you know, we took a real quick first stab at a charter. The link to the charter is here. What would be really good is if the folks on the phone, if you do nothing else over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I know everyone's really busy, but with respect to this work, please read the charter and provide your input on the charter, right? So we need, you know, the VCTF really look at the charter and kind of whip it into shape, you know, grammatical issues, wording issues, if you think it's too complex, any of that stuff, just provide feedback to the mailing list or on these calls. So that's our, like, this is the document we're going to be circulating to folks, and it's really important that there is nothing that could be more controversial than just trying to do a verifiable claims thing. We're trying to get as many people to say, yes, this is important, and yes, I would join the work. Any questions on the draft charter proposal?
Manu, just the timing, again, just to reiterate when the deadlines on this stuff is.
15 days from now. So ideally by the end of this week, everyone that's on the call today, by the end of this week, gets their comments in on the charter, right? So we can rev the charter. And then by the 15th, we're going to circulate the charter among the W3C advisory committee, which is 400 plus people.
So what you're saying is no pressure.
No pressure. We have a week to get comments in and another week to rev it.
And just to be clear, I assume we also want the use case document in shape in the same time period. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the next topic. We'll talk about use cases on the next agenda item. But yes. Okay. Just to remind everyone, the charter is just data format and a set of syntaxes. That's the proposed, you know, recommendation that we're trying to do. And then a note specifying how these data models should be integrated into SAML and OpenID and other existing attribute exchange protocols, and or recommendations on how to change those protocols, and or a recommendation that a new protocol needs to exist because the current protocols aren't, for example, privacy enhancing. Right. So it's do the minimum technical work and then do an analysis to see how this stuff fits into the attribute exchange ecosystem that exists today, or if we need to build a new one. any concerns about that as a work item? We asked this before we went into the IG meeting, but never hurts to ask again. Anyone have any concerns about the direction we're taking? Okay. Next up, use cases documents is here. Shane and Daniel and Greg and Brian did a fantastic job getting this document into shape. Shane did a Herculean effort to get all the spec stuff updated. So thank you very much again for that, Shane. What's in front of us now is whittling the use cases down to 4 to 8 use cases. So we don't want to dazzle people with the amount of use cases that are in there right now. We're trying to be surgical in the use cases that we're putting in front of the advisory committee to consider. Note that these people are incredibly busy. They're usually stretched across, you know, 5 or 6 different working groups at W3C. When they look at the charter, they will give it about 5 minutes of time, and they might give the use cases 5 minutes. So we need to be very clear and concise about what we're asking them to vote yes on. Okay. So that Money? Said, Shane, who is that? Go ahead.
It's Brian. Sorry, I'm not on the chat. What is the interplay between the proposed charter, the potential set of industries that may or may not be involved, and the use cases that we're associating with this initial go?
That is an excellent question, and I don't know. I think, you know, we definitely have education at the table. Payments and finance could be at the table. But, you know, we don't know if they are going to be at the table. So I think the use cases should definitely have education and finance use cases in there. Healthcare is going to be a bit more of a stretch. And Eric, you know, I think we're going to lean quite heavily on the folks that we know in that industry to try to get them to the table. But they just, you know, I think it's going to be hard to get them to the table. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of the use cases we could focus on. And really, like that's just my personal opinion. What do other folks in the group think? Are there any other use cases we should focus on, or should we downplay some of those use cases? Shane, you're in charge of this document, so why don't you let us know what you think after David goes. Go ahead, David.
I just wanted to say that sounds like a reasonable list, and I think that growing that list to large kind of works at cross purposes, both for the time frame and also for the need not to appear to be boiling the ocean.
Go ahead, Shane.
Hi. Okay. So a couple of things. First, the use case document today talks about 5 different areas of requirements. And just to recap, the document is structured as requirements and then supporting scenarios for those requirements. So our use cases aren't user stories there. They're requirements that have user story backing. Those user stories are ordered in a way that finance comes first when there's a finance use case. There are 5 categories of requirement areas: issuing claims, revoking claims, consuming claims, managing and sharing, and endorsing. Managing and sharing, I think we can take out for the purposes of this charter, right? Because this charter is only focused on the data structure, right, and the sorry, I lost the term. I feel like I'm on a TV show, like line, Manu, you know the term. They say, okay, so yeah. Okay. So we're not talking about protocol, right? So any of the use cases that talk about protocol, we can pull out straight away. So can we get down to 8? Sure. Can we get down to the 8 most important ones? Of course. Can we reduce the number of scenarios that back each of those 8 or less requirements? I think we can. My goal would be to ensure that we try to cover all the industries in those scenarios, though, even if they're not at the table. Even if healthcare doesn't show up, I mean, I don't want them to be left out if somebody wants to show up. I want it to look like, hey, there's a use case they have that we can address. So if we can be inclusive, great. Of course, as we all know, solving the general problem probably solves everybody's problem anyway. But I don't want to leave that out of this document unless the rest of the group disagrees with me. So that's the strategy I have in mind. Go ahead, Mana.
So I agree with I think almost everything you said, if not everything. To put a finer point on it, the chart is about data format and syntax. It's not about protocol, but we know that there may be certain requirements in the data format and syntax that are driven by the protocol. Meaning, like, you know, I think like maybe verifiability of the claim is something that you could argue is driven by the protocol, or you know, having a good extensibility story. I'm being vague about it because I don't know if, you know, what the nuances there are. But I think, you know, the use cases that we come up with have to talk more about expressing a set of verifiable claims and not really that much about getting them from point A to point B, right? But in the same vein, we don't want to accidentally put something into the syntax or into the data model that makes it impossible for us to meet some of these protocol use cases that we know are coming down the line. So, you know, thinking about things like endorsement or counter signatures, thinking about things like unlinkability, thinking about things that, like, you know, how Google Macaroons and delegated authorization or delegated authorization works, like all of those could have requirements on the data format and syntax, and we need to make sure that those get into the use cases, because if they're not in the use cases, people could make an argument that, you know, we shouldn't be working on feature X because they're not in the use cases and they have more to do with protocols and it's not clear how they actually affect the data format and syntax. Hopefully that made sense. Any other questions or comments about how to structure the use cases to be concise, but at the same time address, you know, everything that we need today and will need in the future?
Just to back up, sorry, I was muted. Something I put in the channel. I don't want to lose our existing use cases because part of, you know, there's a lot of stuff in this document. There's a lot of data we've gathered, and I want to have that vision, you know, the rest of the thing, not for AC consumption today or whatever, but I don't want to lose track of these extended use cases because we all know there's more work than just the syntax and the data model. So I agree with you, Manu, that we want to make sure that our use cases, you know, are limited and cover whatever, but I don't want to lose track of the other broader vision as well. Longley suggesting an appendix. I thought about that, and in fact, that's where it is now, and we could do that. It makes this document really big, which may be intimidating. So I guess that's a decision for the task force to make.
Right. So plus one for having this giant use cases document. I think it's really good to give people an idea of the vision. I'm wondering if we want to create another document that's specifically use cases for a credentials working group. Like these are the use cases for the working group, and here's the charter that goes along with it. This is all we're asking people to sign up for right now. And then the charter can link to the larger use cases document. I think, you know, the idea of an appendix is good. My concern is that people may be scared off by the appendix if it's attached to anything that has to do with this really constrained focused working group. One of the things that I think, at least I have underestimated in the past, is fear of complexity and how that pushes people to not want to vote for something. Or feel like they can't support it because there's too much complexity there. So having a big use cases document, I think, could generate that fear of complexity in the advisory committee reps, because they're not going to take the time to actually figure out, you know, what's in scope for the charter and what's not in scope. They're just going to kind of look at the two documents we asked them to look at, and then they're going to draw a whole bunch of conclusions from that. So Shane, you know, what do you think about creating another working group specific use cases document, you know, and set of requirements, and saying, like, this is all you need to pay attention to right now, because this is the only question we're asking you. Do you support these set of use cases? And then we can, you know, effectively bury the larger use cases somewhere in the charter or in the WG document. Thoughts?
I don't mind that. It's yeah, that's fine. That's a fine way of approaching the problem. I think the answer is the same. What I would probably do is, in terms of where you want to quote unquote hide it. I mean, we have that open credentials web area with use cases in it now. That could be the big document. The small document could be wherever you want it, but have that be the sort of target. You know, the community's looked at this larger thing. Here it is. We have this very small thing we're talking about right now in conjunction with this proposed charter to socialize. I don't know.
Right. Could you restate that, Shane?
Possibly. I guess I'm just saying maybe we could use the open credentials space right now, the thing we have for use cases, for the big document. Have that be the vision, right? And have this smaller document live wherever. I don't know where things live when we're doing stuff like this. It's not, right? It's not an IG deliverable. It's not a community group deliverable. Well, I suppose it could be.
That might be a question for David. David, do you have a strong feeling where these documents should live? I mean, so I think. Sorry, let me clarify that. I think the larger use cases document is definitely in the community group right now. Like, that's where it exists today. I don't see it moving away from the community group yet. I didn't hear consensus on where the charter and this smaller use cases document should be placed. David, did you have an idea of what if this thing belongs in the IG or if we should keep it out in the CG for now?
Well, I think this is an IG task force. I think it should probably be in the IG space. Now, that may prove to be a pain. I know that with the original use cases document for the IG, we pulled that onto the regular W3C server. Shane, I would defer to you if you feel like it's easier to put it on GitHub, which I think is where the CG work is. Keep in mind there is that GitHub is out there for the IG as well, so that might be a compromise if that's easier.
I think it's something we can take offline. I mean, I don't care where it lives. It just needs to live somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's just it helps us a little bit if it. The closer it is, the better.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I think I have a pretty strong preference to put it in the IG workspace, because the Verifiable Claims Task Force is an IG task force, as David said. I think that group needs to have some ownership over this document, meaning that the IG, not just the Verifiable Claims Task Force, but the IG itself. And then there are also concerns around, IPR. I don't think there's any IPR issues with what we're working on, but let's just not make that a reason for people to say no or participate. Let's just put it into the IG. IPR is very clear. We've started the IPR clock by having, developing it in the CG space, or at least the use cases in the CG space. And just IPR will be very, very clear once it goes into the IG. We'll get you the link, Shane, to the web payments IG space. Actually, I can probably get it right here. There it is. Thanks, Shane. Okay, and then David, we may want to circle back around with the group and make sure that they understand what's happening, or that they're okay with that.
Yeah, can you repeat what that is?
That meaning putting the charter proposal and the small use cases document in web payments IG space. So basically in the GitHub for the IG.
Okay, yeah, we'll let them know. They're okay with it. They voted to have the task force, so they're okay with it.
Right, okay, all right. Okay, any other questions or concerns about use cases or what we're doing over the next couple of weeks? All right, so let's assign actions then. I will take the lead on the charter. Please send feedback to the mailing list on thoughts around the charter. So either the credentials community group mailing list or the web payments IG mailing list, whichever one you have access to. Shane, how are you on use cases? Do you want to hand it off to somebody else, or do you feel comfortable?
I've got it. That's not a problem.
Okay. And then we'll be able to kind of circle back around with you next week to see how the charter comments and the use case comments are going. So the call next week will be focusing on comments on the charter and the use cases. And then we'll just keep rinsing and repeating until we run out of time and have to send it out. Once we send it out, I think David Ezell, myself, and Heather will try to handle feedback from financial industry and potentially some retailers. And then we may depend on, Eric Korb, John Tibbetts, and some of our other friends at IMS Global, to ping the education community and get feedback from them. And thank you, Heather, for offering the help. Great, awesome. Okay, any other comments, questions, or concerns with the direction, with the work that we're doing? Everyone have a clear plan of clear idea of the plan moving forward? Everyone knows what we're doing?
That was Freudian, by the way.
I know. Who's afraid? We all are. Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. Congratulations to all again on making it to the next stage in the process. We have a very short time frame. let's try to see what we can get done in that time frame, and then we'll have feedback by the end of the month on how we're doing. So this is all good stuff. Okay, thanks all. We'll all chat again next week. Thanks, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.